I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Morning, morning, morning. Tuesday morning here, 8 o'clock on a dot. Dunkin', the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll. Go back and check that out. We did it a couple hours ago. We're going to revisit it in just a little bit, though. It's brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Trust, P.J. .com. We welcome in our guy, our friend, our pal, Brad Spielberger, PFF, Pro Football Focus. He joins right now. Hello, Brad. How you doing?
Hey, yo. Doing well. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're great. You know, can I ask you just a general, the most general of general Super Bowl week questions right now? Who's a better football team?
The better football team is the Philadelphia Eagles, but at a few key spots, the Chiefs are better. So, you know, I think anything can still happen.
Brad, were you surprised that the Chiefs made it this far? Obviously, they're playing this weekend in the Super Bowl, but whenever they lost Tariq Hill in the beginning of the year and kind of having somewhat of a quiet, steady year, are you surprised that they made it back to the Super Bowl?
Not at all, and I got to give a ton of credit to General Manager Brett Veach of the Chiefs, who said in an interview this week, I think with Albert Breer at Sports Illustrated, talking about how not only did they trade away Tariq Hill, but also how the Jets had the 10th overall pick on the table. And I'm sure a ton of fans are reading that in Kansas City and saying, oh, my God, we could have had Garrett Wilson. What is he thinking? Yada, yada, yada. But you take a bunch of dart throws. You go get George Karlaftis, who's been a player. You get Brian Cook with the second-round pick they got for Tyreek Hill, who had that great tipped pass that was an interception. He's the one who tipped it to his teammate on the bomb to T. Higgins. So that's how you sustain dynasties like the New England Patriots. Is you trade away a guy like that, replace him with multiple players, and here we are.
What's the most replicable part of what either of these two teams have done to get here, Brad, and what we always say is a copycat league?
I think it's an awesome development that both of these teams had established starting quarterbacks on their roster. For the Chiefs, they just made the divisional round with Alex Smith in that season and then traded up from 27 to 10 to take Patrick Mahomes. And for the Eagles, yes, Carson Wentz had started to show some warts, but still, just extended him, you know, gave him this massive deal. He was not playing great. And I said, okay, we're sitting there in the middle of the second round. We like Jalen Hurts a ton as a prospect. Let's take him. That pick got roasted by everyone. And now, again, here we are.
So the Steelers should trade Kenny Pickett or move up and take, what, C.J. Stroud in the first round?
No, but I'll say this. Not yet. But, you know, let's say it's his year three, whatever. Or you know, after his second year, after his third year, and maybe we still don't have a great feel for where he's at. Let's say after year three. I like to give a quarterback at least two seasons, and unless it's horrendous, like a Zach Wilson, maybe a third. But let's say after that third, it's not looking great, and there's a guy they like early in the draft or whatever, yes, like take that dart throw, stop buying into sunk cost fallacy and telling yourself you have to wait it out. You might as well go up and get another guy at that position.
Fan Hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic. For guest Brad Spielberger, PFF. Brian Flores, he's out of here. He's off to Minnesota to lead their defense. He was just a position coach here, but I don't know if that was enough credit, being just a position coach. He probably did some more. Is there a valuation on what the Steelers had in him and what they'll lose without him?
Yeah, you know, like you mentioned, I think he probably was doing more than just coaching up the linebackers. I think he brings an element of he looks at things very differently. He adjusts to personnel. He does want to bring the heat and play a lot of cover one, cover zero. But you also, throughout time with different personnel, you've seen him do different things. And I think he probably bounced a lot of ideas back and forth with Mike Tomlin. I'm sure they were creative with how they deployed different people, adjusted injuries, stuff like that. But yeah, a great hire for the Minnesota Vikings, even though it's a complete change from what they were doing. They probably need to replace a ton of guys in that defense anyway. So a good hire for them.
Brad, would the Steelers benefit by trading Deontay Johnson for picks? And would he have a suitor out there if that were a scenario?
I suppose they could. I mean, look, getting basically a first-round pick for Chase Claypool is about as good as you're going to do in trading a wide receiver. He would have a market to a degree, but, when you sign that short extension, if you're another team trading for him, realistically, you're inheriting this two-year deal and saying, all right, we need to extend this guy probably after one season. So I think that would drive it down a little bit. I would say right now you keep him, and maybe, after this upcoming season, if he has a down year, if George Pickens has a huge year, then maybe you revisit that idea.
What's your sense, Brad, of the corner market and how it may or may not, being that it's not exactly the deepest free agent market, I should say, I'm sorry, how it may affect Cam Sutton, what he gets on the open market?
Yeah, it's not super deep, so you'd think maybe some of the top guys will get some solid deals, so it'll be bidders, but you look the last couple of years, and since I've been doing this probably 4 or 5 years now, if you're not a younger corner, you're probably not going to sign some massive deal, right? Like, if you're on your third contract, like a Cam Sutton, going to be 28 years old next year, you're not going to get some deal that's going to price you out realistically of the team you're currently on. So, he is top five corner for us, I think, on the rankings. But I don't think he's going to sign some massive deal. I mean, I would be surprised if he hits, even $10 million per year. I think eight even, might be a ceiling to a degree for his services.
Wildly productive year for Alex Highsmith, and a lot of that done with T.J. Watt out of the lineup. Does he get paid as an upper echelon pass rusher in the NFL?
Upper echelon, no. But I do think, he's an interesting early extension candidate. For me, he falls in that mid-tier. He is a good player. He, like you said, was productive and had some, flashy stats like sacks and whatnot when T.J. Watt was not there. But, for me, he falls in that, 13 to 17 range, not in that, 20-plus range. Like a Josh Sweat in Philadelphia or some of those guys that have shown a good amount through their first 3 years in the league, but I don't think are viewed as a number one pass rusher. That's kind of more of the range I think he would fall into.
Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Is Cam Sutton as good as Mike Hilton?
Ooh, he can play more on the outside, but in terms of the slot corner, no, I think Mike Hilton's one of the better slot corners in the NFL. Also, I think just a more of a weapon, rushing the passer occasionally, playing downhill, making tackles in space. So I would say, the differentiator might be that Sutton can now play on the outside, whereas Hilton really is restricted to the slot, or at least that's how he's been used. But
is Cam Sutton as valuable as Mike Hilton, or could be?
I probably would lean Hilton. He's been really, really, really good. At that same time, he got absolutely destroyed in the Kansas City Chiefs game. We had him giving up, I think, eight catches for 100-something yards and a touchdown to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So not as great as Schilling, but he's a really good player when he's on.
Brad, what position group could earn the most money at the combine?
I would say these defensive linemen. I think there are a lot of good ones, but it's weird. You see, the top guys in the draft business, Daniel Jeremiah and a lot of those guys, and they're so off and different where they view these players, Dan Brugler and him and all those, I think the best people in this business. I think you would see some good testing numbers from guys like Keenan Allen, Georgia Tech, and other players on the defensive line that maybe separate themselves, and I think they could boost themselves up into that, top 15 conversation.
Brad, I've heard a couple people bring up the idea that your best possible, and we're seeing it in action with Jalen Hurts right now. We saw it last year with Joe Burrow, that the best possible time to strike, your best possible Super Bowl window is when you have that rookie quarterback on his rookie deal, young quarterback on his rookie deal. Is that going to become a trend that leads teams down the path to not extending quarterbacks beyond that first contract, like we've seen the trend begin to develop with running backs, for example?
You would think so, but it's just so hard for these general managers to convince themselves to not do it. I mean, Daniel Jones, if he gets extended this offseason, they already declined his fifth-year option. He throws 15 touchdown passes on 6.8 yards per attempt for 3,200 yards, and he's probably, based on what I'm hearing, maybe I'm hearing wrong things, going to get a very nice, you know, maybe $35, $40 million a year extension. So I think it's just so hard for them to have this stability and have an above average player at quarterback and go back to that well, even though, like you started the show talking about, you really, really, really probably should consider it. But no, it's the biggest edge in the NFL right now. There has been one Super Bowl in 2016 in the last decade where there wasn't at least one rookie contract quarterback, because you can just spend so much around them. But yeah, you look at the Rams and teams like that where they then do give out that big deal and immediately regret it. You'd think a team would try, but it's a tough thing to sell to a fan base and a tough thing, you know, I think for GMs that don't want to get fired by maybe looking dumb if they make that move.
Reports say that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are $100 million apart. What do you think is going to happen there? What should happen there, Brad?
So, you know, the franchise tag is coming. I will say, I've been thinking the whole time that it would be the exclusive tag, which is going to be at $45 million right now. It's subject to change until April, but let's just say it's $45 million. I'm now starting to think, you know, maybe they do the non-exclusive and let him go sign an offer sheet somewhere, or at least entertain offer sheet somewhere. Look, they would only get two first-round picks, and I think they could get more than that for him in a trade where they had full control. But I think the way they might view it is, let him go hear these offers from other teams that are also not offering a Deshaun Watson-esque fully guaranteed deal, and maybe he'll realize, you know what, the best place for me to be probably is Baltimore. They've built a team around my skill set. I love John Harbaugh and all these things, and maybe it kind of makes him understand that deal is an outlier and not something he's going to get. But anyway, long answer short, going to get a franchise tag, and I think this thing, you know, is going to go right up until the July 15th deadline to extend the player on the franchise tag.
Last thing for you. I mean, an MVP season is an MVP season, so it's obviously very, very good. But have we seen the best of Lamar Jackson? Has he hit the pinnacle of his career?
And I think that's, you know, a fair question. I'll tell you, I had a conversation with someone in the league this past weekend, kind of thinking that that's what he thinks the Baltimore Ravens are at least going through their mind.
It's right. Just,
and
I mean, it's natural, right? Isn't it a natural question to ask right now?
It's a natural question. And look, he's still super young. I still think he can hold up. You know, I know he's missed time the last two seasons, but he is good at avoiding contact. I don't think it's as massive, like, oh, he's going to start, like, his body's going to break down. But can he, you know, play at that level with leading the NFL in touchdown passes and being the best runner of the football, maybe the entire NFL? I mean, it doesn't matter about play style. That's just hard to replicate no matter who you are. So, you know, I do think that is a thought. And then to our overarching point, there also is the thought of, I don't think they believe if they give him $50 million a year, they can then spend enough around him, you know, to still be that really good team. In 2019, they also had the largest cap hit in the NFL on their defense, right? Like, they had a really, really, really good team around him, an expensive team, and I think that is the question.
If his mom called you today and said, who is his agent? If his mom called you and said, Brad, we need a legal advisor, would you work for Lamar Jackson?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
Where would you start the bidding? Like, how much would you charge per hour?
So the way they do is percent of the deal.
Uh-huh.
And the agents are anywhere from, it's usually 1% to 3%. The best agents charge 3%. The small ones that know they're competing charge 1%. I would say, give me 0.5% or 0.25%, and I'll work for you.
All right. Driving a hard bargain there. Lowballing everyone, Brad. Good job by you.
Well, he clearly likes giving 0%, so I got to, you know. I mean, hey, if he gets like $150 million fully guaranteed, I'm not doing the math thoroughly, but I'll take whatever that is, you know, for my service.
It's greater than zero. I know that. I don't need to know math to know it's more than you had before. Thank you,
absolutely,
Brad.
Right.
You're the best. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We will talk soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Brad Spielberger. Is it an error that Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent? Or I think if you carried it out this long, you just kind of got to go with it. I've been reading a lot of things where people say, well, it's an error. I don't know if it is.
I don't think it is. I mean, he was slotted before, and then you'd just be given, like Brad said, 3% to.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.